Boy, do we have an exciting message for you from the Manifest Telecast around the world. You're going to love this. And I really can't wait to preach it. It's one of those things that's going to help a lot of people. And I call this one action can break any demonic influence. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you have some very stubborn family members that it can be a companion, it can be children or grandchildren that just pay absolutely no attention when you begin to talk to them about redemption and their need for to accept the Lord or their need to go to God's house with you and they just absolutely have no interest? Well, some people remind me of the statement found in Acts 7:51 where the man of God looks at this audience and says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you." There seems to be people that want to resist the working of the Holy Spirit for them personally. They don't want to hear any messages, whether it's on a tape form or on television. They don't want to respond to any altar invitation if they ever attend a church service. They have no interest in reading a book or, again, listening to an audio message of anyone whatsoever that's bringing the gospel. And they refuse to watch gospel programming. Now, if you have family members that remind you of these type of people, I want you to listen to what I'm about to share with you for the next few moments. Now, the first thing I want to tell you is this, that God not only uses people to reach your family members, but God can use things to bring conviction to them. And I know that sounds strange, using things, but let me explain it to you this way. I'm just going to have to say it this way. I call these tools of faith. Without Moses' rod, there would have never been a demonstration of God's power to the Egyptian magicians, Jannes and Jambres, nor would the Red Sea have opened. If there had not been a serpent placed on a pole made of brass, then the children of Israel would have died by the thousands and never been healed, Numbers chapter 21. If Elijah had not had his mantle, there would have been no proof that Elisha, his student, had received a double portion of his spirit. But they knew it when he hit the waters of the Jordan River and they parted with the mantle of Elijah. David's sling, that's another example. If David did not have with him his faithful slingshot, he would have never been able to use the stones from the brook and one of them take out Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at Gideon's army. What did they use? They had help with trumpets and shofars, and they also had candles in clay pots. And when they broke the clay pots and they sounded the shofar, it frightened the enemy and they won a battle supernaturally. And then just look at the cross of Jesus. Yes, it is a beam of wood, a top beam and a beam that sits in the ground. And the cross of Christ, had it not been for the cross of the Christ, there would have never been shed blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But through his shed blood, we have salvation, redemption, and justification by faith. Now, I've told you about a slingshot and a rod. We could talk about the bones of Elijah. We could talk about, as we did, Elijah's mantle. What are these objects? They are what I call a point of faith contact. In other words, while God used the person, he also used the object of faith that they had with them in order to accomplish the goal that was intended of taking out the enemy or something of that nature. Now, years ago, I want to say this about a man that lived many years ago who was a great man of faith and from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and his name was Oral Roberts. Now, a lot of you will not remember this, but I studied the healing revival when I was 16 and 17. So if you don't remember this or you were not raised at that time, then you might not be aware of what I'm talking about, so we'll make you aware of it. Brother Roberts came up with the term point of contact. And one of the things he would do is when he would pray with people, he would say, "I want you to put your hand on the television screen or the point in this direction while I pray." There was a remarkable miracle that took place in Washington, D.C., with a woman confined and paralyzed in a wheelchair. When she stretched her hand out in faith and prayed with Oral Roberts, she was healed. And there were reports done on that, and there was even a small book written on it because it was a tremendous miracle. Now, the television was a point of contact. There was no power in the TV. But by faith, God looked at her faith and saw her faith and responded accordingly. Now, in some of the tent meetings, including Brother Roberts, many years ago, this would be in the 40s and 50s and early 60s, when they wanted to pray for everyone at one time, they would say, place your hand on where you're suffering. And sometimes they would say, and touch the seat in front of you, just as a point of contact. Nothing special about a metal chair. A metal chair has no healing virtue in it at all, but it is just an act of faith. And on one occasion, a woman that had a cancer in her face, a friend of mine, he's now gone to be with the Lord, was sitting near her, and she put her hand up there, and my brother Roberts prayed. She touched the front of the chair, and when she put her hand down, that whole cancer had fallen, come out of her face, and was laying in her hand, roots and all. So that is an example of what we would call a point of faith or a point of contact. Now, once again, I understand that a lot of this teaching is new to a lot of you, but I'm going to help you if you'll keep watching. I'm going to give you something in a minute you can use for your family in the faith realm, okay? Now, what is a point of contact? And this is the definition. Anything that can be used to assist you to help turn your faith loose. And I'm going to say that again. Anything that can be used to assist you to help turn your faith loose. Is it biblical? Give me Bible, Brother Stump. Well, I'm going to do that. Acts 19:11 through 13. Now, God worked unusual miracles. The King James said special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, what was happening with the usage of the handkerchiefs from Paul's body or the aprons that he prayed over was it was a point of faith that when people received these in faith and they had been prayed over, that the prayer followed them. In other words, they could have gone to Paul, but they were unable. They could have had Paul lay hands on them, but for some reason, they were too far away or they couldn't make the journey. So God made an option. And the option was to take faith to them and the power of God from Paul, that virtue, the Bible calls it, so that they could be healed, because the Lord knew not everybody would be able to make those journeys. Now, in Mark chapter 5, verse 30, there was a woman that had an issue of blood, and she said, if I can touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and many believe that she was referring to the tallits, which the Jewish men wore at the bottom of their garments, and if she could touch those, she would be healed. And when she touched the hem of his garment, the Bible said virtue came out of Jesus' body and into the body of the woman, and she felt in herself that she had been made whole. Now, this is interesting. She touched the H-E-M, but instead she touched H-I-M. And so what is virtue? Well, the word virtue is very interesting because it is the Greek word dunamis. And dunamis is the same word used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power. And the Greek word is dunamis. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So here's my point, that when the woman touched the border of Jesus' garment, there was a power, we would say an anointing, that came out of his body into her body, and she was completely healed. Now, you had Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons. You had the hem of Jesus' garment. You also had, in the book of Acts, Peter's shadow, that when Peter's shadow would touch the sick that were laid in the street, immediately something supernatural would happen. Now, what we have to understand about the Lord is God does special miracles. God does unique miracles. And he does this so that he can be glorified, but he also does it so that men will never take the glory. People will know it had to come from the higher source or the higher power, which is the Almighty God. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 13 and 21, one of the most humorous things, stories in the Bible, is when the bones of Elisha, who had died, the flesh was already off his body. He was in the scepter that they threw a dead man on the bones of Elisha, and he resurrected back from the dead. And I preached a message called Power in the Bones. And I preached another one called Bad of the Bone. Some of you heard me do that in Gainesville, Florida years ago. It was a real classic. And we understand that Elisha had received a double portion of the power of God and the anointing that was on his teacher, Elijah. So when Elijah was translated to heaven, a double portion was on Elisha. And even though the man had died, there was still a residue of virtue, power, and anointing in the man's very bones. And I teased one time, and you know, I'm a cut up, honestly, if you don't know me. And I said one time, I said, man, there's some churches I preached in that I wish I had Elijah's bones, and I'd go knock them all on the head with and put some life back in them. And I'm saying that in humor, okay? So, let me get back to this one thing, because the subject today is this one thing a person can do that literally can break the power of demonic influence in a family. I received this revelation while conducting very long revivals many years ago as a young man. In 1981, I preached a 5-week revival in Pulaski, Virginia, and that is where 150 people were won to the Lord, and this is where I first found this process I'm about to tell you about. 1982 in Daisy, Tennessee, we began to ask for pictures to lay hands on the pictures of the unsaved, and also I used the same process in Daisy in about an 8-week revival, and over 500 people came to know Christ. Many of them are still serving the Lord today. Now, that was 1982. In 1985 in La Follette, Tennessee, we had an 11-week revival. And the same thing I'm about to tell you about, we used the process there, a faith point of contact process. And there were 450 people that came to Christ. Well, Brother Stone, what is it? Let me build the foundation for you. In 2023 in Gainesville, Georgia, in 15 days, we saw thousands of people saved. In 2024 in Kentucky, during 9 services, hundreds of people came to the Lord. So what I'm trying to say is there is a way, there is a spiritual method, there is a biblical method that God has laid a pattern down for us that if we understand the method and how it is used and it's done by faith, God is able to touch people who are not present in a building, but can help bring them to that place, bring them or lead them to that place where they can receive the Lord. And so what I want to tell you about is 1981 at the Bob White Boulevard Church of God in Pulaski, Virginia. I received a word from God in prayer, and it was a word after hours of prayer. He said, I want you to ask people to bring things for you to pray over. And when you pray over these things, to take them back to where the unsaved and the unconverted person is. And when they make contact with it, when they're touching it or making contact with it, for that person to talk about the Lord and invite them to church. Well, the kids got so excited at the public high school that they asked me, they said, Perry, we want to give candy out to some of our friends, you know, like lollipops or, you know, they named some stuff, and Tootsie Rolls. Will you pray over this and ask the Lord that when we give this candy out and we talk to them about the revival, that they'll come to the revival? I said, do you believe it can happen? Oh, absolutely. So they went, they start bringing the candy, and this happened. So help me, there's eyewitnesses. There's people alive in Dublin, Radford, and Pulaski. They remember it. All of a sudden, 3 kids from the school came. 12 kids from the school came in the 4th week of the revival. Are you all ready for this? 400 young people from the high school showed up to the revival at one service on a Sunday night. And we had a prayer line and prayed for every one of them. And there were some of them that became pastors and teachers and ministers and nurses and so many other areas. And some of them to this day are in ministry. They're older now. Of course, they were teenagers back then, just like I was. And so I said, God, this is amazing. Well, here's what happened. I would pray that God would bring conviction to their spirit. I prayed that if they had a habit, that it would be broken, that they would have no enjoyment in, like, let's say if they were smoking or something, they'd lose that enjoyment. The habit would be broken. And if they were sick, that God would bring them back to health based on Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons. Well, someone says, well, no, the Bible said handkerchiefs and aprons, and you shouldn't be praying for that other stuff. Well, that's what the pastor said to me. Now, listen carefully. Now, he was a really good man, but he got concerned about me praying over things. Now, the same thing happened in Daisy, Tennessee, months later. I got a call from here in Cleveland, Tennessee. Tennessee, one of our general officials, great man of God, by the way, and he said, I've heard Perry's praying over stuff. And the pastor said, yeah, I'm praying with him, and hundreds of people are getting saved. Well, when the guy heard that there was results coming, he says, well, I don't understand it, but I guess if it works, keep doing it, okay? Well, this pastor, he's a good man. He said, now, Perry, unless you can give me Bible for you praying over this stuff, then I don't know if I want it to happen. I'm getting a lot of criticism in town that we're just doing some weird things here. And I said, well, brother, have you seen the kids coming getting saved? He said, well, I appreciate that. But he said, I just need something to back it up. Now, he wasn't telling me to stop. He just said, find Bible. I went back and said, Lord, you're the one that told me to do this. If you told me to do it, there has to be Bible somewhere. And I opened my Bible. We call it Bible roulette, you know, just randomly, God, give me a word here, you know, and it falls somewhere. Of course, you got to be careful with that because it might fall in a place where it says Judas hung himself or something like that. You don't want to do that. God immediately took me to Matthew 18:19. Watch this now. If any two or three of you shall agree as touching anything, whoop, there it is, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. And then he showed me how it was according to your faith, so be it unto you. The verse that he used when a person was touched by the power of God. Well, can I tell you something? I ran to the pastor's office. I said, I found my Bible verse. He kind of looked at me. I said, you're kidding me. I said, no. And when I read it, he started laughing. He shook his head. He said, man, you're crazy. Just go do what you feel led to do. Let God do the rest. And it was really interesting because, can I tell you something? I appreciate a man. He was an older man in the Lord that would want everything backed up by Scripture because it needs to be. But here's what I'm trying to say. I discovered over the years that if I can't get them to church or if they're in rebellion, I can take a prayer cloth to where they are, or I can pray over something. When my son was under really such addiction and bondage, and we were concerned that we were going to actually lose him, Karen Wheaton came to my house, who's over the ramp in Hamilton, Alabama. Now, Karen Wheaton is a great woman of God and a great woman of faith and a wonderful prayer warrior, a friend of our family for years, many years, so many years now, I can't even count, probably close to 40 years or so. And she was burdened for my son, Jonathan. He was addicted to alcohol. He was addicted to drugs. He couldn't break it. We didn't know what to do. We were at wit's end, to be honest with you. And Karen grabbed his shoes. And boy, that was an act of faith because he had smelly shoes back then. I don't know what was wrong, but his shoes smelled terrible. You wanted to take them out and burn them. They smelled so bad. She took his tennis shoes and she began to pray. And she rebuked the spirit of addiction. But I never will forget what she said. She said, God, awaken his spirit. And she said that, my spirit leaped within me. And I thought, I've never heard anybody pray, awaken his spirit. She said, God, he's blind. He's blinded by the God of this world. Open up his eyes, awaken his spirit to the things of God. Awaken, awaken, awaken. And I want to tell you, we took prayer cloths. You know, they're just little pieces of cloth that are cut out with scissors. And we had people lay hands on him, and we stuck them between under his bed, under the mattress at his bed. And I don't even know how many were under there. And he never knew it. He slept every time he was sleeping right where those prayer cloths were. And there's something about that. You know, Norval Hayes' daughter was away from God, living a life of sin. And Norval was in ministry, serving the Lord. And he began to ask God for a breakthrough for his daughter. And he said, God, I want you to show her something that will win her, that will help her to see you're real. Well, she came in kind of messed up one night, went upstairs and started screaming. Well, Norval got up and ran upstairs and said, what is it? She said, don't you see him, Dad? Don't you see him? Said, no, I don't see anything. What do you see? She says, the angel. He's here. I'm scared. He's here. This big, I think he was 6.5 to 7 foot tall angel. And Norval said to her, well, praise God. It's about time he showed up. You'd have to know Norval. That sounds just like him, Norval Hayes. He was a friend. He was in our neighbor where our offices were downtown in Cleveland. And, you know, she came to know the Lord and, of course, assisted him in the ministry for many, many years. And so this is what I wanted to say. If you can't get a response from them and you're praying for them, there is what's called a point of contact. Now, why did I anoint things? Why did I pray over things for my son? You know, can I tell you why? It kept my faith alive. It kept me laughing. I'm saying every time he went to bed, I'd just laugh and say, he's laying on those prayer cloths and he don't even know it. And God is going to see that faith. He's going to see the prayers we prayed and he's going to answer. And God did that for us recently. And we're so grateful for it. So here's what you do. I don't think it matters, and I'm going to say this, really, what you're praying for, what thing you're using, if that is the point of contact, that's where your faith is, whether it's handkerchiefs, aprons, maybe it's a picture of some kind. But when you pray, you have to agree. And sometimes it takes two people agreeing, three people, but don't let anybody pray with you that's got doubt and think you're weird. Get people that believe. And the word agree is symphonio in Greek, and it means to say the same thing or to sound the same thing. So you've got to be in 100% total agreement. The Bible said, ask, seek, and knock. And sometimes you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, but it will eventually be done unto you. Now, the reason, again, that I use these methods of praying over things and asking God to convict, save, and heal people based on scripture is because it really helps my faith to have a faith, a point of contact, a faith object to where we've prayed over and we know it's out there and God sees it. Just like when they built altars, God would see it. Moses built the brazen snake, God saw it. So God sees the object, sees what you prayed over. You keep your faith out there, you keep your faith alive. And I just want to teach you to do this as God leads you and as the Holy Spirit inspires you, because I have seen thousands come to the Lord and they had no idea that someone had prayed over something. And they found out later and they'd say, well, I knew something had changed. Something happened to me. And it was that. Hope that you've enjoyed this today. Keep watching. Got an offer for you. And we'll be back in a minute. It was said to be one of the greatest gatherings in the history of our ministry, the best of revival and prophecy combined. If you're interested in a right now word from the Lord and messages that reveal coming events that will inspire and equip you for the future, then these 9 messages are a must on your list to see and hear. Now, I could say so much about each one. However, let me just give you the titles that reveal some of the content. Jonathan Kahn preached on prophetic hints in recent events, what God is saying through these things. Tommy Bates preached the message, it is time to see signs and wonders for your children. And then we have Joseph Z, who taught a great message on God has unfinished business with America. Billy Burke conducted a healing service that went till 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness, his message called Get Back the Expectations That You Can Receive a Miracle was a dynamic faith builder. Now, I preach 5 messages that I want to give you the titles on. The Hebrew year 5252, a massive prophetic discoveries. We also preached on AI discoveries proving that God exists and prophecy is true. One message that left everybody talking was, if I had one message to leave you, this would be it. We had a Friday afternoon service and I exposed 4 things that almost destroyed me. Well, what a talked about message that was. Saturday morning, I preached on dying ministers and the mysterious harbingers of the end of the age. Now, these 9 DVDs come in an album for offer number 25ME-DVD for $95. The 9 audio CDs are also available in an album for offer number 25ME-CD for a gift of $55. The messages on the MP3 flash drive are offer number 25ME-USB for $55. You can also get the messages on digital download, and you can get that at DL25ME for $45, video on demand, and there's actually 5 ways that you can order these messages, and I hope you will take the time to do it. Now, you can also call Voice of Evangelism at 423-478-3456. You can order online at perrystone.org, or you can write us and send a check to Perry Stone Ministries. It doesn't go to me, but it goes to Voice of Evangelism, and you can request CDs, DVDs, flash drive, or any other the other methods that we have. Now look, VOE is able to reach the world because of your continual support of these resources and offers that we make available. We have many doors opening, but we can only go through them with your help. We know that these messages are going to change the outcome of your situation, so order them today. I have said it for years that the revelation can change your situation, and the teachings from the main event will absolutely do that. We've had this main event since the 1980s, and the messages from this particular set, I was told by people, I've been to almost all of them. These are our people that have been there for years in our ministry, and this one did more to help me to understand the times, the healing service, everything that happened, than any of the others. So we're almost out of weeks for you to be able to get this. We keep it up for a certain amount of time. So go right now to that phone and order the main event. I also want to make you aware of some places that we're going to be coming to. We're going to be coming to the Sanctuary in Sylacauga, Alabama, March the 13th, 14th, and 15th. That's an entire weekend. We're going to be coming to Gateway Church in Russellville, Alabama, March the 20th to the 22nd. Again, that's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we've just added this One City Church in Beaumont, Texas, April the 10th, Friday, all day Saturday and Sunday morning. So it'll be April 10th, 11th, 12th through Sunday morning only, but also Friday, all day Saturday and Sunday morning. And then don't forget Warrior Fest. You have to register for that March the 27th through the 29th. No fee to attend, but you must register. The International Prophetic Summit, April the 22nd through the 26th. I think that's like 14 services, and they are amazing. I mean, let me say this. It don't get any better than that. It does not get any better. Come from all over the world. Fly in. Come from the West Coast. Come from all over. We want to see you and meet you. I'll have a book signing Sunday morning, and I'll get to meet a lot of you, hopefully. Okay? And so we're gonna be making an announcement. Best thing to do is go to peristone.org, look up the itinerary, Peristone Ministries Facebook page, stay in touch with our Facebook post, Peristone Ministry YouTube channel, subscribe to that, and I'm going to see you, the Lord willing, next week right here on Manifest.
If you are a student of Bible prophecy, or maybe just someone who wants to know what in the world is going on, then you don't want to miss the 2026 Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee, April 22nd through the 26th. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Joseph Z., Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, Brian Cutshaw, Jonathan Kahn, and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Visit perrystone.org for more details. Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.